by all and all, standing on the promises of God.
Thank you, Dan. It's always a pleasure to give God's word out, sharing it with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Set up here for a second. Hey, Don, I might need a glass of water if you can tell Dan to. We got a lot of stuff to go through here. Okay. Today's message is a little different than what I normally give out. Today we're going to look at the Great White Throne Judgment. It's a judgment that nobody wants to be at, and a lot of people will be there. There's two judgments. The first judgment is the judgment seat of Christ is for those who are saved, and they are judged for what they did for the Lord Jesus Christ and what they did not do for the Lord Jesus Christ. That mean, but you're still saved. So that judgment is for the saved, and the Great White Throne Judgment is for the lost. Jesus says you're either saved or you're lost. So we will try to break down these passages. If you would turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 11. And this is John speaking, who wrote the book of Revelation, and he is a witness to what he saw here. Remember, this is a terrifying little scenario that we're witnessing. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books," thank you, "according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire," and this is the second death. So as we see here, there's two deaths. One's a physical death, one's a spiritual death. So the lost and the sinner that is on their way to hell or the lake of fire will die physically in this world and in this life, and then there will be a spiritual separation from God in the second one. This describes the end times, God's eternal purposes for this judgment, his final judgment. Many today do not want to think about eternity, especially the young. They think they have tomorrow. They think they've got many years down here. Heaven and hell should occupy everybody's mind every day. Looming across eventually will be a final judgment we must all face. The book of Romans calls it the day of wrath for this judgment. The book of Jude calls it the great day of judgment. God will judge the world in righteousness. The final judgment, every lost sinner will be judged. It'll be the end of human history. This will be after the thousand-year reign of Christ that this judgment will happen for the lost. Every lost sinner will have their day in court with the Lord Jesus Christ. And his judgment during this period of time will be perfect. There's no escape of this judgment. There's no pardons. You cannot hide at this judgment. Let's look at the setting of what this means, the great white throne. We have here the setting is a sobering manner for the lost. The throne means a purpose, the purpose of this judgment. And the word white is purity. So you have great means power, white means purity, and the word throne means the purpose of this judgment. And this is a terrifying judgment. It's the highest court there is, and it's the verdicts are all final, and your sentences can never be overturned. And this judgment will be in absolute holiness. Jesus gives everybody a fair shot at this judgment. Every single sin will be exposed. Every thought, motive, your deed, your purpose, everything you've thought will be at this judgment. Psalm 9, verse 7 and 8 reads, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment." Verse 8 says, "And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. He sits upon the throne." Jesus Christ is the one who will be judging this judgment. God has given him all authority to do so, and he is ready to judge. If we could look at John 5, verse 22. If you turn to the Gospel of John, 5, 22. It says, "For the Father judgeth no man." God judgeth no man, "but he hath committed all judgment to the Son," which is Jesus Christ. Amen. So, people are going to meet him one or two ways, either as a lamb or as a lion. You'll meet him as your judge, or you'll meet him as your savior. And this is very terrifying, as I was saying before, because there's no place found for them. No place to hide. All guilty. They all ignored, denied, cursed, or blasphemed Christ. Played games with the Lord Jesus Christ. In talk, in small talk. Made fun of him, mocked him. But he has the feet of brass and has eyes of fire to judge. His verdict alone will be heard, and there's no escape. The dead, small and great, will appear, as we see here in Revelation. What I mean by the small and the great, you're going to see people like Adolf Hitler there, Joseph Stalin, Napoleon will be there, Saddam Hussein, all these great men of history from the world's point of view, and all they did was wicked and evil things, will be at this great right throne of judgment. And also the small in stature will be there. The average man on the street will be at this judgment because they haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Will be dead in their sins. They will all stand at the great white throne. The sinner will be there. The ones that hate God, hate God's word, hate the church, love the world, all about everything but the Bible. I saw on the news the other day, I try not to watch too much TV, but I actually had to see this and I couldn't believe what I was seeing, but I was seeing it. It was, have you ever heard of Harry Potter or J.K. Rowling, that wicked books that they have out? Well, they had about, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 people, and she put out a new book. And it's not the Harry Potter book, it's an adult book. And I'm looking at this scene. They had a big barricade up over the scene, and they had all these people ready. Once they cut the ribbon, they had all these books on a table, and they were ready to go purchase these books. All these people, young, old, these young kids, and they showed the book, and they're promoting them, and it was like a big, big scene that you just could not believe. And I'm thinking to myself, they had about 10,000 books on this table here with the ribbon, with the security holding them back to go meet the author and purchase books. So you're seeing a whole table full of books, right, of this author. Now, on the other side of it, I was picturing, what if there's 10,000 Bibles on the other side of this scene? Picture this for a minute. 10,000 Bibles on a table. And then this, and when you cut that ribbon, I would like to know how many would go towards the Bibles as opposed to this J.K. Rowling book. I would have to bet none. Isn't that unbelievable? None would go to the right. Satan, you know, after watching this, he's just blinded this world so bad. I mean, all it's just what you watch on TV. You really have to watch what you watch, what you take in. And he's got everything programmed to forget about the Word of God. Don't read your Bible. Don't get saved. Don't think about these judgments. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. I want to read that real quick with you. It's 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, it says, "Know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." It ain't going to happen. These people will not go to heaven. They will be going to this judgment, the great white throne judgment. Let's look at a group now of people that will be appearing at this great white throne judgment. First group that's going to appear there, let me make sure I got it, is the self-righteous. The self-righteous will be at this judgment. They say all their life they don't need Jesus. They don't need to be saved. They're fine the way they are. They don't want to hear about it. They're a good person. They've done no wrong to no one. They don't need a Savior. They can get to heaven, if there is a heaven, on their own. And they believe that they're not sinners. Jesus said, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And we need a Savior to pay for these sins out here. The third group, second group, will be at this judgment is religious cult members. Muhammad, Buddha, Joseph Smith, Reverend Sung Moon. Everyone that has not accepted or believed on the name of Jesus Christ will be at this great white throne judgment. The religious roads. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. Isn't this interesting? Peter said there's no other salvation and no other name under heaven that we is given that we must be saved. I was talking to Eugene out in the foyer a little earlier and stuff like that, and the Bible talks about a lot of good, but mostly it's about sin and being saved and how terrible this is. No other name given under heaven which we must be saved. So all this stuff with Muhammad and Joseph Smith and the Buddha and all these false cult leaders, another one, Maharishi. I was looking into some of that too, where the Beatles were into him and all that West Coast culture. They're trusting in that. Here's another group of people will be at this great white throne judgment is the group called the procrastinators. We all know these people, don't we? They know they are sinners. They know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they keep putting it off. You know what they say in their heart? They say, "I'm going to wait until after college. I'm going to wait until after college. I'm going to get my stuff done. And I'm going to party. Because that's one thing I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up my loose living, my drinking, my smoking, my drugs. Because I know that in my heart that I would need to give that up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ." And they know that someday but they say they got plenty of time. They say, "I'll do it after marriage. After I want to get my career going after college. So I really got plenty of time, don't I? I got more than enough time to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and get on that straight path, that narrow path, that straight gate. But the book of Proverbs 27:1, Jesus said, or the Lord says, "Behold, today is the day of salvation." You know, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Look at the passage with the rich man tearing down the barns. He thought he had plenty of time, but the Lord said, "Thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee to give an account." See, these are the procrastination that people put this stuff off is unbelievable. But Satan whispers it into their ear, and they keep putting it off. But you don't know whether you're going to hear the word of God, let's say at our church right here. The Lord is present. You believe it, and then Satan snatches it away from you real quick, so you don't trust in the Lord at this moment. You could walk out of this church, get on 696, and an Alzheimer patient or a drunk or a person on drugs or alcohol could be coming the wrong way, and you wouldn't even know it, and you're blasted into eternity. It's that fast, and it's that sure, and you have no absolute guarantees. When he says, "Today is the day of salvation," heed his word and accept that and ask Jesus to save you before it's too late. You don't know if you could walk out of here and have a heart attack walking to your car. I've seen it happen. I've heard it happen. You see it on the news every day, all day, as people are dying left and right. And today is the day of salvation. Another group of people that will be appearing at the Great White Throne Judgment is lost church members that profess to know Christ. A lot of these churches nowadays, they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but they know how to make money out of these churches, these mega churches, and a lot of these preachers and pastors and religious cults, after the services, when they're getting in their $100,000 BMWs to go back to their $1 million mansions, and they say that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, in the meantime, bring your money with you when you come to church. You notice about this church here, there's never a basket passed around this church for money. It's all about God's word and the Bible and living righteously and believing and living for the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. We never ask for no money. That's why you don't see this church all filled up, because it doesn't offer the entertainment that Satan provides at the other churches. Because that's all it is entertainment. Not just the pure word of God. People can't just come in here and sit down and be quiet and open their Bible up and meditate on the word of God and let the Lord speak to your Holy Spirit. And that's a peaceful thing that you can't buy ever. I've never seen so much peace in my life as going to these Bible conferences, or sitting quiet in the morning meeting, or reading God's word, and there's no hoopla, no loud noise, no hurrah and bangs and loud and just razzle-dazzle going on. They can't just sit there. It's amazing. I've been to a lot of those churches, and it's just, I just don't get it. One time I was at the one church, and they were doing a game show. They were doing a game show up there. I was sitting next to her. I was sitting next to this girl, and I leaned over. I said, "This is your church?" I said, "This is church." She said, "You sure we're not at a talent contest or a?" But I couldn't believe it. They had it all up on the stage, and they were hitting these buzzers and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, whew. I said, "Lord, have mercy on you." And remember, they're going to stand. I tell you what, look at this one. This is where they're going to be. This is beautiful. Matthew 7. If you could turn to Matthew 7 real quick. This is what's going to happen. All these wicked doers, evil doers. This is what God, Jesus is going to say to these people. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus is going to say to these people, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say in that day to me, Lord, Lord, you know, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in your name done wonderful works? That's what these preachers and these false prophets and people that are on the televisions taking your money, casting out devils, asking for donations, getting on the internet, using the Lord's name for filthy lucre. And Jesus will say to them in that day, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Now, isn't that amazing? You know who else had iniquity in them? Is Satan, when he was born. God found iniquity in him. And these people are filled with iniquity. Jesus said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Knowing Jesus, do you really know Jesus? As an example, when I first met Dan back, I reconnected with Dan back in 05 when I started coming back to church. I really didn't know Dan too well. I knew him from years before, but I haven't seen him in, I don't know, 10, 12 years, but I didn't know Dan. But after hanging around Dan from 05 to now, I've gotten to know Dan real well. And if you want to know Jesus real well, we need to read our Bibles every day, attend the Bible studies, attend the meetings. That's how you get to know Jesus. These people that don't do God's work and do his will and read his word and do his will. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What a horrifying scenario. I can't even imagine this. These people are selling their souls out here on a daily basis. The people in the music industry, the movie industry, all the wicked preachers and all this stuff, and they will appear at this judgment. And when God says to you, oh my God, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Wow. They thought they knew him, but Jesus saw their heart and looked right through them and said, I never knew you, because they think they're getting away with something down here, and they think it's a big joke. They think it's a big joke that they're not going to answer for none of this. The sea will give up the dead in that judgment, the last day at the bottom of the sea. Death and Hades gave up the dead, and the soul and spirit are already tormented by God. They're just awaiting this final judgment. At the end of 12 and 13, the evidence is presented. Every lost sinner will stand there with books, as we see there where it says the books were open, and another book was open. And these books were an accurate record of everybody's life. Hey, that's me when I was 10 years old. Look at that. Isn't that nice? I was there. Okay, that's when I was 16. This is when I was 22. This is when I was 28. This is when I was 38. This is when I was 45. It's all recorded. I saw a Chick track one time that it says, what it's like is it's like having a big movie theater with bringing that down with this thing, and God's saying, when you stand there with no escape, God's going to say, review his life. And that's exactly what it's going to be. All your sins that you thought you've forgotten about will be brought back. It'll be made known. It'll be shouted from the housetops. Here's a couple of good ones. Ecclesiastes, if you would turn to me, verse 11. Ecclesiastes, just past, I believe it's Psalms or Proverbs. Thank you. Yep, Ecclesiastes. Look at, now if this don't spook you, I don't know what will. Chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8 and 9. It says, but if a man live many years and rejoice in them all. So what we're seeing here is if a man live many, many years and he's having a good old time and he's partying and he's having a blast. It says, let him remember the days of darkness. Now at the great white throne, these days will be brought back to remembrance for all his ill will living all his life. They shall be many. Oh, wow. For they shall be many, and all that cometh is vanity. And then it says, well, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. So what he's saying is if you're going to do it, go ahead and do it. And let your heart cheer you on in those days of your youth. And he says, walk in thy ways of thine own heart. And we see that all the time. Every time I try to witness to somebody or try to talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, they're already set in their way. They don't want to hear nothing about it. Their paths are what they want to go on, and there's no turning back for these people. It says, walk in thy ways of thine heart and in thy sight of thine eyes. So as we see here is they have one-way thinking. Their focus is on themselves and what makes them happy and the pleasures of this temporary life. That's all they focus on. If you think about it, Hollywood and California and all these movies and all this stuff, all it focuses is on pleasure. Focuses on their houses, their looks, their money, their fame, their fortune. It's all a big bunch of hell that's going to be burned up in the last day, if you think about that. That's all it is. You never hear one godly thing come out of that place. And I'd bet you, I'd say 99.999% of people that are living that lifestyle in Hollywood will go to hell because of it. Because their focus is on non-stop wickedness. And in the sight of the eyes, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Oh, boy. See, they're not reading that, are they? I know if I was a lost sinner and I were to read that, I would say, wow, I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to get off of this wicked path that I'm on, because I'm going to be brought into judgment for everything I've ever done or I'm going to do. And that's a scary thing, because that's something you just can't get out of. God's word is true, and he's not slack, as some count slackness. They act like this ain't going to happen. It's going to happen. Matthew 12, verse 36. You don't have to turn to me with these. I'm just going to read them real quick so we get an understanding. 12, 36 says, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word you say, you're going to give an account in the day of judgment. Luke 8 says, says, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare, Luke 8:17. It says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. Oh, wow. Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Boy, Christ mentions this many, many times, doesn't he, in here? Nothing shall be secret. Everybody has secrets, don't they? But Jesus says nothing will be, nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest. And neither anything hid that shall not be known. Jesus will open these books of men. No sin will be overlooked. Every sin will be judged. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight. That means God knows absolutely everything about everything he's created. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine, saith the Lord. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wages of sin is death, must be paid for. Now after this sentence is delivered, at this terrifying judgment, the defendants await the verdict. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the final death. Matthew 25:41, this is very terrifying. They're all cast into hell forever. Two deaths. The first one is the first death is physical, and the second death is a spiritual death for eternity. Anyone's name that was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. I like this one, Galatians 6:7. People think that they're never going to get there. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So a lot of times their heaven is right here and right now. They don't believe in anything eternal. I hang around some people that I play hockey with during the week and stuff like that, and they're just plain out atheists. They just believe when you die, you're dead, and that's it. Nothing eternal about their well-being. They don't believe in a heaven or a hell. Unfortunately, that's not going to be the case for these people. Jesus said, he that has the Son has life. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. He that does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So that means it stays on you for all eternity. When God forgives your sins, he forgives them as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. What a blessing. What a blessing that is for God never to remember your sins. I thank God for that. If I had to account for my sins in my life, oh boy. It's by grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God that all we have to do is accept. Isn't that wonderful? Gene, I was going to use this as a message on the next one, but I'm going to use it right now. Gene called me last week and said a wonderful illustration of this. Is, you know that they hand out, you'll have to help me with remembrance of it, about 9 billion gift cards. You know what I'm talking about? The ones you spend at restaurants or at Walmart or you know, a Target or something like that. And she was telling me that a lot of them that are passed out or given to people, they don't use them. And just think of the amounts of money that they get for free. And it's a free gift that they don't use. God gives everybody the opportunity to come to him. Don't tell me that you haven't heard the gospel in your life. When you're at an age of accountability, everybody's heard about God. Everybody's heard about Jesus Christ. And God gives you that decision in your heart to either make the right decision or make the wrong decision. You have a free will, and it's a free gift. Why don't you take it? Jesus says, Drink of the water freely, like this. It's free. Doesn't cost nothing. Salvation is free. What a great thing. Anyway, we should not come to Christ now. If nobody has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they need to make that decision today, before it is too late. I love this scripture right here. It says, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for ye not know what tomorrow will bring. All such rejoicing is evil. Man, I hate when people do that. Do you ever hear people that do that? They say, I'm planning on retiring next year, and I'm going to buy a boat, and I'm going to build a farm, and I'm going to grow this and that, and I plan on doing this. And to God, it's all evil talk. Because you shouldn't boast. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what later this afternoon is going to bring, let alone tomorrow. Anyway, we have a look at the Great White Throne Judgment. And you know what we need to do too, soldiers out there, is we need to talk to more people, pass more tracts out, and bring it up to people, because there's a lot of people heading down this road to this judgment when they die. And when you go to funerals, they're happening left and right, and that's what reality is. And when they die, you can't get out of this judgment, and this is horrifying. And we pray that nobody goes there, even our worst enemy. We pray that doesn't go there. So please, as brothers and sisters, we should soldier on, go to the highways and byways and try to reach people. And it's not easy. You bring up Jesus, And they want to throw their fist at you. They don't want to hear it. They put their block up. But, you know, hey, we're just doing our job as soldiers for the Lord. And may we continue to do that. So we'll close now. Father, we just thank you for this hour. You know, we looked at a horrifying passage, Lord, for the lost that will appear at this great white throne judgment. We're just blessed, Lord, to have the Lord Jesus Christ that has paid our sins in full. We have nothing to worry about, Lord, as the minute we die, Lord, is absent from the body, is present with the Lord. And thank God for that. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, that you've given us. Thank you just for saving us from this hell that will happen at one point in time. We just ask that you bless each and every one of us as we go about our day, Lord. We thank you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hey, Todd. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, buddy.